Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here, your caddy for the show. Yes, it's Friday. Yes, it's Saturday. Yes, it's Sunday. It's the weekend. And this is Great American Golf. Again, Ray Adams, your caddy for the show, joined by Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, and Dr. Bob Denny, our PGA of America historian, emeritus, the great one. Let's call him the great one, Craig. What do you think?
No, that name's already been taken.
Isn't that
Hey.
for, isn't that what Mark Levin, the attorney and political pundit, is called?
Well,
How about it?
I was thinking Gretzky,
Well,
so
Wayne Gretzky in sports is the great one too. Yeah.
how
Yeah,
about
but we,
Jackie Gleason?
yeah,
Yes, that
absolutely.
too.
Yeah, absolutely. Jackie Gleason. I'm old enough to remember that. And away we go. And the Jackie Gleason Inverary Classic. Craig and Bob.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yep,
How about that
I have a
one?
program from back there.
How about that one? I think that is very cool that I remembered that from the day where, well, many of the PGA Tour events were named after big famous celebrities. And then, of course, that all gave way to the sponsors, having the title holder rights and namesake rights as well. Well, I want to thank Ashworth Golf Apparel for outfitting me and you listeners. You've got to get to ashworthgolf.com. The golf man is back. I have my new spring line of clothing apparel they sent me. Wow, it's absolutely beautiful what we picked out at the PGA show a couple months ago, and now it finally came to me. I'm so excited to wear it and film with it, go to the microphone at various events with it, and yeah, wear it out and about. Tell everybody about the Golf Man and Ashworth Golf. Folks, when you're wearing Ashworth Golf apparel, that's right, you're wearing a part of golf history. AshworthGolf.com. I'll have more later with some sponsors that I want to thank: Tally Tumbler, Legends Bar and Grill. And a few others, but we're going to get going here because we have loads to talk about. What about that Masters, Craig?
Nice event. I was very happy to see Rory win. I picked at the beginning of the week. I said that 12 under would win, so I wasn't off by much. As you and I texted a little bit, I think a lot of people will look back and say they didn't take advantage of the chances that they had. And I think there are a number of players. While they might not have won, if they could have pressured Rory a little bit, I think the game might turn out a little differently. But overall, a great event, and it was Rory's a nice champion for Augusta and the Masters. He's a nice ambassador there. I have no problems with what he's went through over the 15 years and last 2 years. More power to him.
You know, there's some criticism out there, and of course, there always is. I mean, there's always going to be negative people. But one of the criticisms, and I don't know what the rules are. I think it's probably the secret handshake between Augusta National and the players. But Rory talked about his preparation for this Masters. And his preparation was to go many, many times. And he said something around about like a month or so, he played no other golf other than at Augusta. Didn't hit another ball anywhere else on the course. And so he went many, many times to study and play Augusta. And again, it would be nice to know what the ruling is on that, because I also read somewhere that another player overstayed their welcome, and maybe others. I don't know. But Bob, do you have any insight into this? Because Rory had what some people say was an advantage in that he went so many times over the few weeks prior to the tournament to study, play, practice, and get it down. In the end, he ends up with a six-stroke lead, setting history records on that Friday night. after 36 holes. He then goes on Saturday and Sunday, and it was up and down and back and forth and up and down and back and forth. And we said those that hit fairways win, those that go in the forest lose. And that ended up being somewhat of the truth. Bob, what about this playing so many times before the tournament? Did that give him an advantage?
Non-champions do have the right to qualify to play practice rounds at Augusta ahead of the tournament as long as they have invitations for that current year. So they could also take advantage of as many days as they want and schedule those in. There's no outstanding policy that's been publicized about it. Obviously, Rory did a great job of preparation, as most anyone understand. I do know in history that Phil Mickelson made trips to Baltusrol ahead of his winning over there, and no one else was up there practicing ahead of that. And Phil ended up winning in 2016, not 2016, excuse me. I think it was 2011 around there. And also that there have been many instances in the past where Jack Nicklaus has made trips to practice at sites ahead of his majors as well, but not quite to the level that you have described. And but it does there's no outstanding policy as long as you're invited to the Masters of a restriction that has been publicized.
Okay, so anybody invited out of those, however many players, could have gone as many times as they wanted to prior to the tournament, just
According to
like
what
Rory.
that's been advertised, yeah.
Okay. All right, so no unfair advantage because if you didn't go, then that's your problem. And I don't know that Cam Young, Craig, going and playing there 6 or 8 times in the month prior to the tournament, would that have changed anything about him and his play?
Well, I think you gain insight of the golf course the more you play it. So, isn't it an advantage? I mean, somebody has played the last 15 years. I mean, in that theory, Justin Rose has probably one of the biggest advantages of anybody. He's played it for many, many years and stuff like that. So, the more you play it, obviously, you get the little nicks and crannies of every golf course the more you play it. So, that is an advantage. But once you win, that puts you in a select cast of people, you obviously have an advantage over everybody. You figured out how to beat the golf course and beat people there. So Rory's
Well,
advantage in taking advantage of being able to come up and use his clout or whatever it is, I think more power to him. That shows you how much he cares about that event.
right. And in Rory's case, I mean, yes, he won the golf tournament to go into the Career Slam last year. But I have to reiterate, he did it in a playoff with Justin Rose, meaning they tied for the tournament lead. And when it was all said and done after regulation play, he and Justin Rose tied. So Justin was right there. He didn't win the golf tournament as far as the green jacket because he lost the playoff. But he was right there in the lead over everybody else when it was over and done. And this year, well, I'll tell you what, Rory sure knows how to keep everybody watching TV, doesn't he, Bob?
Oh yes, he has more wild adventures than Indiana Jones. No.
I mean, and here's the thing, and we talked about this on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, Craig, and I can't wait to get your thoughts on this one. I think that Rory McIlroy is the luckiest professional golfer on the planet, maybe up there on the moon where our astronauts just came home from. I'm telling you, it was all galaxy luck, absolute blind luck. When he drove it into the forest, into the woods, on the pine straw, multiple times on Saturday. And every single time the guy had an out, and a rather easy out. In other words, the trees parted for him like the Red Sea did. And it was of biblical proportions, these miracles of him going into the woods and coming out. And then he did it again on Sunday. I mean, and I said out loud to friends of mine, we were watching it. I said, yeah, but what if Cam Young ever goes in the forest or any of the other leaders like Justin or whatever? They're going to be in jail. Sure enough, Sunday, Cam Young goes in the forest, jail. Ball way up against a tree, branch hanging down on hitting him on the head. He has to crunch over and punch it out. Craig, go ahead. What about it?
Well, that's the way the old ball bounces, isn't it?
I guess for Rory, yeah.
I mean, we have days where, we cross the white line when in our car and there's not a car there, and then there's times we cross the line and there's a big car there and we have an accident. I mean, that's the rub of the green, I think, is kind of what they call it. And maybe somebody above was what looking down on him and allowed him that break this week. Rory played. He drove it horribly all week. His short game was very good, and I didn't get to watch a ton of it. But he putted really, really well. It seemed like every single time I watched something, he putted really well. I would love to know the putting stats, but he putted really well, in my opinion. And even though he makes it interesting, he seemed more in control than he did last year when he won it. And maybe that's maturity. Maybe that's confidence. Maybe that was lack of pressure that he felt over compared to what he's done. But, he just felt like he was meant to be there in that position this week.
Bob, when you look at the historical bigger picture of Rory's win, who was it? Freddie Couples says, I doubt that he'll ever lose again here. Or let's see. Is that what he said? Yeah, I don't think he'll lose. I don't think he'll lose again.
I think he even brought up 10, the number 10, I think.
Well, Rory's not winning 10 Masters.
No.
But and Fred Couples is silly. But Fred Couples also said, which I thought was a pretty
Yeah.
interesting statement, Freddie Couples also said last week, anybody that doesn't like Augusta National is stupid. So I guess Freddie Couples and I, who share the October 3rd birthday, and I think I agree with that. If you don't like Augusta National, I mean, something's wrong with you. Bob?
I'd like to also bring in a little something to help Craig for the stats. I found that Rory had a 1.54 average putts compared to the field, a 1.65 average, and he was fifth in putting for the 20 for that overall tournament. So he led the field with 24 birdies. That tells the story right there,
Well,
statistically. Statistically.
that's why he
Right.
won the tour. Even though he
Oh yeah.
couldn't, well, even
All
though he
right.
couldn't find a fairway with a compass
Right.
or a map,
Yeah.
he was the worst in driving. But that tells you that his short game, his iron play,
Oh yeah, he leaned on
his
that. He admitted that. He admitted that.
that was what
Meanwhile,
to, yeah, go ahead.
you've had Lee Jansen on the show in the past, I
Oh
think.
yeah.
Okay, Lee, in his win at the Olympic Club, his ball was stuck up in one of those big trees. It
Yeah.
fell down at the opportune time. A lot of people have breaks that happen to him. Rory had more breaks than others. I grant you that. But breaks happen to all champions. No, regardless, in 72 holes, there's a lot of them out there. Too numerous to mention at this time.
Sure. Yeah, every champion has breaks. There's a little bit of the rub of the green. There's a little bit of the luck of the draw, though, as well. Craig, Sergio Garcia had a little bit of an outburst there, didn't he? What'd he do? What'd he do?
He broke his driver. He slammed it into the ground. I actually saw that. That's some of the little bit that I saw. I saw that. I don't know why Sergio is so bitter right now. That would be my observation. It doesn't look like the man is very happy at all if you ever see him on the golf course right now. And I don't watch a ton of LIV, but I don't know the last time I've seen Sergio smile on the golf course that you really see him having fun. Something is going on with him. He has definitely lost the exuberance that he used to show when he was 18, 19, jumping around at Medina and everything.
El
But
Nino.
he doesn't have anything that even resembles that right now.
Well, but Sergio has a history, Bob, of bad boy behavior. I remember years ago he spit into the cup. Do you remember
Yeah.
that?
I remember that. Yeah.
And then he whined around and cried around and whined around all the time, and Tiger couldn't take it. Tiger was like, okay, I can't take this guy.
Right.
And you know, and I was there at the PGA Championship, in where was I? In Detroit years ago,
Oakland Hills.
my hometown at Oakland Hills, when Sergio lost to Patty Harrington. But he just got this streak in him where, and it'll just, he'll be fine, and then he'll just all of a sudden, it's like someone lit a match and he blows up like a piece of TNT, Bob.
Yeah, and I it's not even close to being worth watching on in any level, but since we are covering it social media, we're covering it with cameras everywhere you look, you're going to see everything no matter what. And it's just another example of where he's lost his cool. Robert McIntyre lost his cool earlier in the Masters, and we saw all that. And a lot of people lose their cool, and then they don't think they're on camera, and they're on camera. And Augusta's not going to miss anything. Believe me, there's like Big Brother watching you. Before we jump to another subject, I just want to clear up my thing about Fred Couples. He told his caddy in the 12th hole that McIlroy may never lose this thing again, predicting he could win five more jackets.
Okay, five. He's
We'll
not
call it
winning five.
five.
He's not winning five more. I'm going to go way out on a limb and say he's not winning five more. But you know,
That's
hey,
true. That's true.
look, look, Craig, I think that golf loves rivalries. They love this person versus that person, and they loved it when for the most part, Tiger beat up on Phil. There was your rivalry. They loved it when Nick 100 years ago when Nicklaus and Palmer would go head to head. And early on, the folks didn't like the bear. And he was kind of a chubby golfer with a burr haircut. And he came out, and all of a sudden, you know, Arnie's army didn't like him. It took quite a while to gain the respect and to accept Jack Nicklaus and that rivalry between he and Gary Player and Palmer, the big three. And then there were rivalries after that, of course. You had Tom Watson, you have others. There's rivalries today out on the Champions Tour. You know, you've got Stewart Cink, you've got some other great players out there, and they pair up and there's a great rivalry there, and we love watching it. Are we watching the newest, latest, greatest rivalry on the PGA Tour when we talk about Rory and Scottie Scheffler, Craig?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, who else?
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody else that's winning somewhat consistently out there.
No.
But once again, that's all media hype. I don't really think that those guys are talking privately or anything like that, or you know, have much of a social interaction between the two of them, except passing on the range tee if they're paired together. So, I mean, I don't see those two guys as having any kind of real intensity through anybody else. And it's the way Scotty's built and what he talks about. I don't think he really cares about anybody else
He
because
don't
he's
care.
won
He doesn't care.
his golf. And I don't mean not care, but he's got his faith and he's got his family. And if he's got that, it doesn't matter who's in front of him. He's going to do his job. So I don't think he really says, oh, Rory's got another major now. I got to go catch him. I don't think he's doing that.
You know, there's another person out there that talked about his faith and is a strong man of faith, and that was one of our other, well, near winners, Bob. Who am I talking about?
Golf man of faith, you're talking about?
Strong man of faith. He talked all about it. After the Masters, he was right there, had a chance. Great, great guy. Henley.
I'm Russell Henley.
Yeah.
Okay. I missed his interview. I'm sorry.
No, it's not about his interview or what he said about his faith, although he was very outspoken about it on after the tournament out there on social media, I think, as well. But you know, there are those players that depend on their faith, they lean on their faith, their faith takes them through it, and it is a greater for them, it is a You know what I'm trying to say, and I'm a little bit
Sure.
at loss for words. It's not an accomplishment, it's a greater calling. And Scottie Scheffler has even said that he is called through his faith to even practice strong and
Right.
train correctly so that he can be the golfer that he's supposed to be. But then afterwards, he enjoys the tournament win for 5 minutes, and then he says to his wife, "What's for dinner?" Right, Bob?
Sure, I understand. And a number of others that fall in line with that is Stuart Sink, Zach Johnson, Webb Simpson, Sam Burns, Aaron Baddeley. We can go down the line. Bubba Watson.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
it
So
all plays a part. And believe me, when they established the Fellowship of Christian Athletes on the tour and the Bible study, et cetera, it has helped.
oh, absolutely. And let's not forget maybe one of the top names of all those people, although they're all big time names. But let's not forget Gary Player, a strong man of faith over the decades and today. And let's not forget one Bernard Langer.
Of course. Of course.
Unbelievable. And he has been on my show so many times. I must say that I not just I just I truly respect Bernard. I admire him and, well, love him as a brother in the faith. Our president of the PGA of America, Craig, is another person of faith. Don Ray, been a brother in the faith with me for over 20 years, as I mentioned earlier, before we started the show. And yeah, we'll catch up with Don in November, and we'll hope to be able to have resume some great times with Don Ray as we go forward. He's currently president of the PGA of America, finishing out his term, which will end in November. And after that, he is a, what is it, a president emeritus or something, Bob? And they're
Honorary president.
honorary president of the PGA, and they do give that honorary president certain benefits going forward, I guess, for life. So yeah, and he'll tell us all about all that stuff later. But all right, wrapping up the Masters, I think we're all in agreement. Rory wins, and while I wanted Justin Rose and was pulling for Justin Rose, I don't pull against people. I don't wish bad things to happen. What I did say out loud was, well, I presume that Rory will continue his play in the woods, and if he does, Rose will win. Well, I was probably wrong about that. It would have been Scottie Scheffler that would have won because look at the surge he mounted, Bob.
Oh yes. Oh yes. And he's one stroke behind, one turn of the ball on the 17th green, and we have a different golf tournament.
Well, and even Brando Chambly said that, Craig, and we mentioned this on the Monday show. And that is when I listened to him last week, he said after the tournament was over, somebody asked him about Rory's maturity and how much better he is today than he was years ago. And Brandel jumped in and pretty quickly answered the question and said, well, when Rory was young and he was winning tournaments by 3 and 5 and 7 and 8 strokes, you can say that his skill and his game and his swing was out of this world. Today, he's winning by playoffs and one stroke shots, and that is pure luck. It's luck. Because you're dealing with a turn of the ball, you're dealing with 1 inch putts, you're dealing with a bad lie versus a good lie for the field or for yourself. And of course, I've already brought out the 4 times in the woods that he got out easily, no problem, yet others couldn't. So if Rory wins, he will likely continue to win, of course. But I know that before the Masters and last summer, whatever, fall, whatever, Rory said, I'm really focused on majors. I'm going to spend more time with the family. And that's where he's at. I don't know what his play schedule is going to be. We'll be anxious to see that because we want he and Scotty to go up against each other. But all of that said, Rory wins. We're glad for him. Back-to-back Masters, only 5 in history, Bob, I think have done that, or 4.
For now.
Four now in history with Rory. And yeah, Sir Nick Faldo had comments and all that. Kevin Kisner had to apologize this week for his comments about CBS and how the coverage was bad. Greg?
I'm tired of hearing that everybody's got to apologize because somebody didn't like what they said. It doesn't mean what he said is false, or somebody doesn't want to hear it. Doesn't make it wrong just because that's his opinion. I'm tired of hearing about that. I mean, I don't think their coverage was great. Do I think they made some choices that were poor? Yes, absolutely. But that doesn't mean I'm going to apologize for them. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, Kisner called it out, and of course he's on NBC, I guess. And if somebody somewhere walked in the trailer or the door or called him on the phone and said, "Okay, Mr. Kisner, you will be apologizing for those comments," and so he did. And like you, Craig, I'm a little tired of all these apologies. Everybody running around, they say something or they do something, and then they're forced into some sort of an apology. That and sometimes it's warranted. I mean, Sergio needs to be on his knees to the master saying, "Please forgive me, I'm a stupid." But whatever, I got the bad temper. That's Sergio. But with that said, there are sometimes, and I think many times, that there's really no apology needed. I mean, you made your statement, it was founded in somewhat of truth. There are a lot of fans upset with CBS, they didn't know where Rory's ball was. They didn't show him hitting it on 18. He stood in front of the little tap-in putt. Bob says we might be splitting hairs on the Monday show. We might be, Bob, and I agree. But I mean, people pay, the sponsors pay, the fans pay, the viewership. I mean, you go on and on. And I remember a famous line from one of the John Wayne movies: "Never apologize. It's a sign of weakness." And of course, I don't agree with that. It's a movie line, but I don't know. Should have Kisner apologized, Bob, or were
I
his
agree with
remarks?
Craig. I think that's a wasted energy. I think at the moment when you're making that decision, it was right, because I had a number of people in my watch party that day who also agreed with Kisner in a different way, because they're saying, "How come we're watching these balls roll in the hole and you're telling us that 10 minutes ahead of time it's going to roll in the hole?" I said, "Well, I think I know a little bit about the truck and how they show these things on delay. And they try to make it sound like it's real time." The perfect example of this, Roy, excuse me, Ray, was way back
I
in.
can go by Roy. I get mailed as Roy Adams for 40 years.
Rory Adams. Back in 2023, when Michael Block was at Oak Hill hitting a hole in one from that thing, CBS was behind. I was in St. Andrews at the time on assignment, watched on Sky live of that shot. CBS missed it. And Jim Nantz comes on a few moments ago. "The great journey of Michael Block continues."
Yeah, a few moments ago, my putter. Sorry.
Well, can I say something here, Ray?
Of course.
What the advantage that the Masters have, or the majors, or the biggest events is, but the Masters more specifically, is they put a lot more cameras all over the place. And I like that they're showing all these cameras and everything from so many different angles now. And I mean, I love that Augusta is able to do this. So as a result of showing all this different stuff, you're going to have more stuff tape delay. But the reality is, if you're complaining about, hey, this happened 7 seconds ago or 12 seconds ago, then all you're going to do is see people standing around for 45 to 50 seconds watching them read a putt. I would rather see more shots and see half of them be, well, this happened 6 seconds ago, and seeing shots from all over the golf course than sitting there and watching Rory go through his routine and stand on the tee waiting to hit a shot on 15 tee. I
Yeah.
think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a waste. Complete waste. All right, guys, we've got to go to a break. And I am going to be returning with Dr. Bob and Mr. Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, whom we're so glad, Craig, that you're back with us. We miss you, buddy. We got to
Thank
figure
you.
this thing out, man.
Yeah.
We got to figure this thing out. All right. We'll look at some schedules. We're going to take a look at the Heritage leaderboard for a few seconds. We've got some big golf going on this weekend, Senior Championship. What are the ladies doing, Bob? So let's have a look at those quick leaderboards and the upcoming schedule when we come back. And then later in the show, folks, in about 15 minutes or so, I'm going to have a wonderful, wonderful Couple On, that is the sponsor of our travel segment, Vacay Mode Travel. And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with me for these great messages from some great sponsors that make it all happen, and they do it for you.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, greetings and welcome back, everybody. That's right. It is Great American Golf. I'm Ray Adams with Dr. Bob Denny and Craig Renshaw. We are back, and back. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited that the Masters has come and, yes, gone. It is the rite of spring. It is the official opening of spring golf all over the country. Although we still continue to have some frigid temperatures, and then we went right into some world record heat temperatures in the Northeast. So spring has sprung, and we are excited that golf is open well everywhere all over the country now, and we're having beautiful weather and beautiful golf. The superintendents have weathered through the winters and the whatever the overseeding and all the things that happen with golf around the country. We're going to have a very prominent superintendent on very soon, and we'll do a super golf segment. But let's get right back to it. We've got the Heritage leaderboard going on the PGA Tour. They went right from the Masters to the Heritage Golf Tournament. And what's so famous about the Heritage Golf Tournament, Craig?
Oh, it's got one of those iconic views from 18 again that you can see the lighthouse. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, and it's been there forever, hasn't it, that event? I mean, 60 years or something like that?
Forever. Bob, you're happy because Aldrich Pottgeter turned in a pair of 67s, and he's there. Ricky Fowler's playing some great golf. Look at him shoot a 65 on Thursday. What about that? Kurt Kitayama right there with a 65 on Friday. And we just got a lot of golf to watch and a lot of golf to play there. Keegan is playing there. And by the way, talk about Keegan as a former Ryder Cup captain last fall in New York. I was there. We're not going to go into all of that, but there was some commentary going on around about, and it's swirling, that we know that Luke Donald is the European captain yet again when they go to Adair Manor in Ireland for the Ryder Cup next year. But Bob, there's some names that are being swirled around. And I know that one commentator named one person in particular as far as captain. So 30 seconds only. Who do you think will or should be the captain of the Ryder Cup coming up?
I still like Justin Leonard. I think he's got a handle on both the tour and experience, and he's a level-headed guy and very organized. I think he would be a real Easy fit. And I know they've talked about Steve Stricker in the past, but I don't think Steve would want to do it again.
Well, he did it and he won, and he didn't win a major, so he really broke the mold on that one. And we had a great tournament up there where we won that Ryder Cup. Craig, who should be the Ryder Cup captain coming up?
Oh, golly. Yeah, Justin Leonard's a good pick. I don't mind that. I mean,
Well, who else? If not Justin, because that's Brandel Chamblee's choice, that it should be Justin Leonard also. So you all are in agreement. And I agree with that too. But if not Justin, who else? 7 seconds, Bob.
I don't think Stewart Cink is a bad choice. I just think he's a nice alternate if they want to go that far.
Well, maybe next time. Craig, who
Yeah,
should it?
I like Stewart too. The hard part is that our recognition of players that have won, significant events is getting less and less. There's just not many of them that have had careers that are going to be, stand out and do all that. So yeah, I think Stewart or Justin, they're as good as anybody right now.
Well, I think it's going to be Justin Leonard. Let's go way out on a limb and we'll hold our breath until they make the announcement. So that's what's happening over there at Harbor Town for the RBC Heritage Classic. We're going to have some great golf there. Bob, what's going on with the Senior PGA Championship? What's happening there?
At the Concession Golf Club in Sarasota, Bradenton area, the first time that the Senior PGA has visited area since 1942, and we have a great field going. The club itself was designed by Jack Nicklaus and Tony Jacklin in honor of their concession moment in 1969 at the Ryder Cup, and it's been a very good golf course. Scott Hend of Australia was leading the tournament going into the weekend by at least 3 strokes at the moment. And one of the good chasers who hadn't got off the tee early before our program at the time on the weekend was Bernhard Langer. He's in the mix. It's a good Padraig Harrington's in the mix. So interesting, Ray, that 3 of the last 10 years have been Americans have won it. Only 3 in the last 10 years in this tournament. So that it speaks a little bit about the global aspect of it. And one of the players in the field, I don't know if anybody's surprised by it, but he was doing very well, Omar Uresti, who's won 2 PGA professional championships. And a gentleman by the name of Pat Perez was in there in the mix.
Yeah, well, I know Pat, and I've been friends with his dad for many, many years, who runs an unbelievable nonprofit organization called Operation Game On over in San Diego. It was a full television episode of mine a few years ago. I'll tell you what, this guy is former Marine, and he helps the wounded military folks coming home to that famous San Diego Naval Hospital in their recovery by teaching them golf. And it's right there. We filmed it. I had to stop and start the camera a couple of times because I was all teared up. It was a tough show to film, but it's a great one. And it's great to see Pat Perez. Absolutely, it is. He played live. He did his thing. And what are you going to do? I think that this is going to be a fun golf tournament to watch. And let's get on to the ladies. What do you have for the ladies?
The
Up.
ladies are playing in the JM Eagle in Los Angeles, and right now they have been probably once again dominated by the Asian great players on the Asian tour and Korean, and we only have one American on the top 10 as Lauren Coughlin at the moment, and it just speaks to just the strength of what we have seen so many of the last 5 6 years of the LPGA. With the Asian winners. And I just going to go through the list real quickly for you. We don't have some of our best players in the tournament this week. Next week is their major, first major of the year, the Chevron Championship. So that speaks a little bit about someone resting. But one of the best players right now before the weekend was Se-young Kim. I watched her play, and she's very outstanding. And she will hold her own against anybody, Se-young Kim. But she's a, I think she's learned taekwondo when she was younger, and she's just a very fit athlete.
Well, the LPGA Tour is out there. Thanks for that update and the schedule. We've got the Senior PGA Championship going on. It's on my monitor here in my little broadcast studio. And I just think that we're going to have some big golf with the Heritage. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch golf this weekend. We are in spring and we are having fun. Get out and play, get out and do. One thing we didn't cover, let's cover it on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And let's see a little bit more unfold. But they met in New York this week, and the public investment fund from the Saudis have decided that they are very likely will no longer be funding LIV Golf. They will fund it through the end of the year. So Mexico is going on. They will fund it. Every tournament that's on the schedule will happen. Players are going to receive their crazy big money. But there's a lot of money out there that is under contract that I'm sure players and managers are wondering, agents especially for their cut, Craig, as to are we going to be paid? So we'll leave that at that note, Bob and Craig, and appreciate you guys so very much. We are entering into a wonderful segment right now. I have to tell you about Vacaymode Travels. We're going to talk to the owners and the certified travel planners. Vacaymode Travel is a very different way of having Sarah and Alden Holowinski help you with your next wedding destination, your next buddy golf trip, or any sort of a friend's trip anywhere, or if you are celebrating an anniversary, a birthday, a little getaway for a few days, or you want a big, huge cruise around the world, it is Sarah and Alden Holowinski. And I want to thank them so very much for joining us today and well, filling us in on everything happening now that we are full blown into spring. Sarah and Alden, welcome so much to the show.
Thanks, Ray.
Hello, Ray. Thank you so much.
Hi, I see your logo and your photo, but I don't see you, and that's okay. No big deal. We're excited. Are you in Mexico where you live now?
We are
in Mexico.
Okay, I want to stop and say one thing about Mexico. My wife and I were married in Mexico. We love Mexico. We go to Mexico. We've been to various destinations around Mexico, and never one time over the many, many years have I ever felt unsafe. Now, that's because we do some very intelligent, smart travel things. And I could go through the list, but we're not going to do that today. But I do want to give you one word, give us 30 seconds on how safe it is in Mexico and how to stay safe. Alden?
Yes, it is safe. All major airports are up and running. All reports are showing that there's safety among the hotel corridors. Everything is up and running, although there have been some hiccups here and there, as there are with any destination. Things are definitely moving. The demand for Mexico is as high as it ever is. People are loving the beaches and love all the culture that Mexico has to offer. And what they're doing, in addition to booking their travel, is they are booking some travel protection, some insurance, just to give them some peace of mind. And that's not just Mexico, that's all over the world. Just give them some peace of mind. If they do want to make some last-minute changes or adjustments, they have that option to them.
Very good. Now, let's go back to it, Sarah. What is Vacaymode Travel? How do they find you? What do you do to help the folks for everybody that, well, may not have heard any of your segments? And by the way, Vacaymode Travels sponsors the Where's Ray travel segment. Where's Ray comes from Where's Waldo years ago in those books, that my kids had. And we would try to find the funny looking guy out of a million faces. And that's kind of me traveling all over the place and doing this and that and the other. And you as well, folks listening. And Sarah and Alda, they lead groups everywhere. They lead people everywhere and they help them. So tell us, Sarah, what is it that Vacaymode Travels does? What do you two certified travel planners do?
Yes, absolutely right. We really like to get to know our travelers, their travel style, their vision, what kind of experience they're looking for. And we like to plan a boutique style experience for everybody, giving concierge level services. What that looks like is we're not flooded with tens of thousands of trips every year. We work with a limited number of clients each year so we can give really great service, really detailed, fast responses, and really good insight into wherever their travels are. We like to be that guide right next to them every step of the way. So they can find us at govacaymodetravels.com or on social media at vacaymodetravels on pretty much all major social media channels.
Well, I'll tell you, Sarah, I'm in the vacay mode travel mood. I'm in it. I'm there. I'm
Love it.
govacaymodetravels.com. And you know, it's spring and people are planning their summer vacations if they haven't already. The kids will be out of school in another, I don't know, month and a half or so. Folks will take their holiday time during the summer. That's going to be from, call it, I always say Memorial Day to Labor Day is those are the three big months of summer travel. But if a family wants to go somewhere a little bit more, and maybe it's in the USA, maybe it's to Mexico, maybe they want to take the kids and they want to go to some place that will provide culture and some education and some maturation of the kids. Where's a couple of two or three good places that folks that are planning summer holidays now can go to you, who will, as a boutique, as a concierge travel planner company, govacaymodetravels.com? Give us a little bit of insight on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're looking domestically, there are some places that are always great. I think if you can get up to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and from there explore some of the national parks, Grand Teton, Yosemite. The place that I'm always kind of pushing people internationally is Portugal. We have so much good
Wow.
such good experiences in Portugal for a couple of reasons. One, it's a really nice price point. It's one of the destinations in Europe that you can get to under 7 hour flight. Price point dining in and out and excursions are fair, I would say, for Europe too. They are English speaking as well as Portuguese, so communication isn't, much of an issue there. And there's just so much to see and do. Lisbon, Porto, really the Douro Valley, there's just a lot there. And if you were going with a family, there's just a lot of value expense wise and just a lot to see. Definitely makes for a memorable trip. Those are just two that come to mind.
Well, you know, folks, if you're listening and you are planning a trip and you want Sarah and Alden Holowinski to help you from govacaymodetravels.com, get to that website, contact them. They charge a very, very nominal fee. I was surprised to hear what it is. And for that small fee, they're going to save you that money back probably more than double, if not more. Not to mention, they're going to do all the heavy lifting. You can tell them what you want. You can give them all of your personal wants, needs, desires, dreams. You can tell them about any food restrictions. You can tell them about any health issues that you need to be mindful of on your trip. And it doesn't matter where you're going, right, Sarah?
No, not at all. We have booked travels pretty much everywhere worldwide. We give every trip the same level of attention, making sure that they have all the necessary information to make it a smooth experience and a really enjoyable one.
But that you hit on the head. When people approach us, all they really need to do is just let us know the dates, what they're looking for, the budget that they're working with, and then we can dig into the fun stuff. What is there to do? What are some food recommendation? What are some of the local landmarks that are worth, checking out? Do you want a guided tour? Do you want to go explore on your own? Do you want to rent a car? Maybe take a train for a day. So once we get really the template of what those dates and budget is, we can dig into the fun stuff. And that's where we really can make it a memorable experience.
And folks, if you're looking for a fall vacation, and people are planning fall holidays right now out there, aren't they, folks? Sarah and Alden,
Yes.
go to Oktoberfest in Germany. My goodness, it's one of the great, great, great events and holidays. Germany's wonderful. My great friend, who's a PGA professional there in Bavaria, near Munich, at Kempton Country Club, Ralph Schwartz. He has been on the show with us umpteen times. He can come on and talk all about that. And maybe we'll have Ralph on the next time you two are on, because he would be a great addition to talk all about, Bavaria, Munich area, Oktoberfest. And I think folks listening to that from a German and a PGA professional living right there near it. And then you can take over, and I don't know. I think people will be wanting to book trips with vacaymodetravels.com, and you and Alden and Sarah after they hear that segment. I think that's a great segment coming up. Oh, and by the way, there's a bunch of golf in Germany. All right, what's next? Tell us where we're at. We're in the spring, summer's coming, vacations are planned or being planned. We know that folks need to contact you and get you going with them, get that initial call, that initial conversation where you meet them and listen to them and find out all the details. And then you go through a punch list. Let's talk about wedding destinations. Sarah, I'll start with you. I have never seen anything like what you two do to prepare for a wedding destination. And I know that you do the same thing for any holiday travel that you help with anybody, vacation travel, wedding travel, but buddy travel, girlfriends going out to a trip travel, whatever it is. The detail that you two put into this is astounding. I mean, it's right down to how many petals are on the flowers, folks. Sarah?
Yes. Destination weddings are really our specialty. We actually have a couple of destination weddings coming up in the next couple of weeks, one in Mazatlan, another one in Riviera Maya, and we're on site for both of those weddings. But really what sets us apart with the weddings is rather than a typical destination wedding travel agent that's only helping with the travel side or a wedding planner that's only helping with the wedding side, we really merged the two together. We saw that there was a big gap in the way destination weddings were being serviced, and we wanted to make that a smooth and seamless experience for couples from start to finish. So we really merged the two together with our expertise as certified destination wedding specialists. We help them with all of the travel aspects, all of their guests, all of the wedding planning, and as far as bringing it all together, being on site, watching everything unfold, and just giving them that level of support that really allows couples to really focus on just being present and enjoying those memories rather than sweating all the details.
And it's also the logistics. If you think about it, if you're going to have a wedding of 50 or 100 or more, you have to get everyone from point A to point B. And maybe you have a family that has not traveled much. They don't know what to expect. So we want to really give them all the information and really be well informed when they're on their way. A lot of our bridal couples are not just looking for a wedding. They want a overall great experience and memorable time with their friends and family. So they're planning a lot of excursions outside the wedding day, like a catamaran or a ATV ride or anything offsite, just so that people
Guys,
can,
golf day.
a guy's golf day they're doing a lot of. So it's really becoming an all just
Multi-day celebration.
rather than just the wedding day.
Yes, you have the maybe a day or two ahead of time to get in and relax and take in a sight, or if you're near the ocean, have some beach time. And then the wedding day comes and all of that happens. And then what happens with their guests, though? Is that their honeymoon site also? Or what do couples do? Do they make that destination wedding location where they've gone to, wherever it is in the world? Do they coincide that with their honeymoon, or do they leave everybody and take off on an airplane and go to another place? What do couples mostly do on that?
Yeah, I would say most couples will opt to either upgrade their room for the end of the stay to like a honeymoon suite, or they will change destinations completely. They might change just hotels, they might change destinations and go to a whole different country. We've seen a little bit of everything. There's no right or wrong way to do it. It really depends on, how much time the couple has, their budget, and just the overall experience they're looking for.
Yeah.
Lot of times the bridal couple is just go, go, go the minute that they land in their resort, that they're looking for somewhere relaxing. So whether it's nearby or somewhere far away, usually the honeymoon spot is somewhere where they can just relax, find a beach, a book, a drink, and do a lot of nothing for their time there.
I remember 100 years ago, my wife and I ended up, where were we? Cancun. And we got there and we were so exhausted from the week of work. And we were exhausted from the airplane trip, planes, trains, and automobiles. See, everybody that knows me knows, or knows me well, knows that I love travel, but I hate transportation. I just can't take it. But of course, you have to go through it. That said, I know that Vacay Mode Travels and Alan and Sarah Holowinski will make your transportation experience a whole lot better than you could alone on your own, or certainly me. And we want you to get to Vacay Mode, go vacaymodetravels.com, follow up on that. But anyway, we get to Cancun, we're exhausted, we go straight to the beach, we order a couple of those, flowery whatever drinks, and we're not drinkers, but we order a couple of those flowery drinks, and we're laying there in the sun on the Chase Lounge, and we fell asleep.
Oh
Not good. Very not good. The rest of our holiday was a disaster. First of all, we had to walk around. We woke up lobsters. We were burnt to pieces. We had to go in and find aloe vera oil or gel. We had to, okay, on and on it goes. Folks, if you're t and we had to walk around for the next couple of days with our arms out. We walked around and we were a T, and we were barely moving. It was so bad. The burns were so bad. Finally, after about 3 days, we were able to, recover, and we had 3 days left. It was a week trip. Don't do that, folks. Do not do what I did. Dumb, dumb, and dumb, right, Sarah?
Yeah, definitely not ideal. We always try to get in as much shade as possible. We're not really, just lounging in the sun because the sun in Mexico is very strong, especially, from the States or if you're even from the Midwest, not used to that much sun.
How many of those flowery drinks did you have?
Well, we didn't even have time. We didn't even finish the one. It was still sitting there, watery, with some flower or something in it, and one of those little pop-up umbrella things that ran through a piece of a pineapple. I don't remember what we had, but we didn't even finish it because we were so exhausted. Boom, gone. And the thing is, both of us, you would think that maybe one person would doze off, the other would kind of sit there and read their book and look at the water. Nope, gone. Disaster. Don't do it. Don't do it, folks. Listen to Sarah and Alden Holowinski. Let them take care of all this stuff for you. I mean, for some small little, this is not thousands of dollars to hire you people, right? It's
No.
a few, it's a few hundred dollars, and my goodness gracious, it's amazing what they do. Okay, I'm going to give you the last word, Eldon. What do you have?
Yes, no. Again, it's our goal to provide memorable experiences for all. Travel is an investment of time and obviously money as well, and we want to see good on that investment. And there's so many, we get so excited when we see a ticker come up that we have a new meeting with a new client. I love an opportunity to introduce ourselves to somewhere new and see where they want to go. And sticking on the Germany theme, since we just love this part of it. We have a lot of river cruises going on in Europe along the Rhine and Danube. We actually have a group cruise going on this fall if you're interested to travel with us. Otherwise, there's so many opportunities. Again, would love to introduce ourselves and see what your travel goals are.
Sarah, the final word.
Yes, if you are looking to plan an unforgettable trip, celebration, wedding, reach out to us. We'd love to get to know you and help plan a memorable experience.
All right, there they are, Alden and Sarah Holowinski from govacaymodetravels.com. Keep posting all those cool posts and videos on LinkedIn and Facebook and all of their social media, folks. Make sure you go to that and follow them, be a part of it, and get to that website, govacaymodetravels.com. You're in the vacay mode. I'm in the vacay mode. We're all in the vacay mode. I love ice cream. You love ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. Remember that one? Well, I'm screaming for travel. I want to go on a holiday, and it's going to be a big one. We're going to have some fun. And thank you so much for joining us today and helping, well, all of the listeners, and for being a great sponsor. What a wonderful sponsorship. Thank you so much. I hope we can do this whole vacay sponsorship again. And where's Ray and what's going on with travel? Let's re-up that and do that again very soon. But thank you so much, and get over to that website, folks, and we will be back with Alden and Sarah Holowinski very soon as we come later into the spring and toward the summer. We've got to get you back on in a few weeks. All right.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, thank you so very much for joining today. What a great show. And I want to thank the Tally Tumbler. You know, Tally Tumbler is a stainless steel tumbler that comes in different sizes, different colors. But what's cool about it is it keeps your drink ice cold, piping hot. But what's cool about it is the rings at the top of these tumblers. They'll keep your golf scores and stats. Other tumblers have other yard games, and you can keep scores right there on your tumbler for many different kinds of games. You want to go to tallytumbler.com. And then I want to thank Tour Edge at touredge.com. Make sure you get the exotic or the hot launch golf balls. That's right, Tour Edge is into golf balls. Their bags, all their clubs, unbelievable what's going on. You want to get to touredge.com, and you're going to be seeing and hearing a lot more from me about Tour Edge coming up. And then the T Clip, one of my favorite PGA merchandise show products of the year from a few years ago, and again this year. And I can't help but thank Shane Wieters. He has created an all new product line, an all new look, and he's going to be coming on the show with us. We're going to be getting a graphic from Shane, and we're going to be sending that out to you in my big newsletter and spring product gift guide. Oh my goodness, and spring golf guide, I should say. You want to get on my list, and if you do so, you've got to write to me at golfadams@msn.com. golfadams@msn.com. Please make sure you do that. I'll get you on my list. You'll be getting everything that I send out from the Mother's and the Father's Day and the fall gift guides and product guides and the November for Black Friday shopping and holiday shopping, and all of that goes out in early November. Then the Christmas and holiday guide goes out in very early December. We have a winter product guide before the PGA show in January now. We send that out about the second week of January, and then the PGA show is at the end of January. And by the way, there's going to be a lot more coming from the PGA show from a couple months ago. I am deep into talking to so many different new companies, products, and sponsors. I can't wait to introduce some of those to you. But you want to go to tclip.com, where I first met Shane and the T Clip, but a lot more to come on that. And then, of course, one of my great, great sponsors and one of my great, great friends, Bob, if the owner, founder, purveyor of Squares Golf Shoes. Bob Winskowitz is, he borders on a product and marketing genius. He really does. Worked for Arnold Palmer years ago. Learned his trade, learned his craft in golf forever. And then he starts Squares Golf Shoes several years ago. I was with him from day one. I'm still with him. The square toe, the wider foot box inside the shoe, the strategically placed spikes on the bottom, or you can go spikeless now. They have every imaginable kind of a shoe for both men and women. Don't forget Mother's Day coming up, squares.com. And they've got their new spring line of shoes going on. You've got to get to squares.com, folks. I tell you. And don't forget that baseball's going, and we've got baseball shoes. Don't forget pickleball. They've got the pickleball shoes. And I hear tell, and we'll get Bob on to talk about it, but there's something brand new coming in Squares Golf Shoes. And I'm telling you, I was surprised about what I heard. And we're going to get that confirmed when it is released. So much coming from Squares. Get on my email list, golfadams@msn.com. I'll get you in there. You're going to be very soon getting my spring product guide. Golf is open everywhere. Spring has sprung. The Masters is over, the rite of spring. And we are back into golf open all over the country. And it's going to be so much fun. What a great season I'm looking for next month. The PGA Championship is happening. And of course, we have a US Open in June right after that. And then, of course, we have an Open Championship. And I can't wait for that. So we're in major championship season, everybody. I also want to thank Homeland Brew, part of my Anthem Only segment. Homeland Brew is right here in Anthem, Arizona. They are something else. They are a tap room. They have craft beers. They have a bottle shop. It's kid friendly, family friendly. They have the food trucks that come by. There's even a play area for the kids inside the inside Homeland Brew Company. They're located at 4225 West Fortune Drive here in Anthem, Arizona. They're on the west side of the I-17 freeway over there toward the Walmart. 4225 West Fortune Drive. Get on over there. Say hello to everybody. Say Ray sent you. As a matter of fact, they'll take good care of you if you say Ray Adams sent you. And you can go to Homeland Brew Co. Homeland Brew Company. HomelandBrewCo.com. HomelandBrewCo.com. I want to make a big deal out of them. They're just a wonderful place here in Anthem. But folks from all over the valley travel to Homeland Brew for what they have to offer. And then, of course, I'm always happy to talk to you about Legends Bar and Grill. They are a staple. They are a standard. They are a community gathering place. They have wonderful food. The owners live right around the corner from me here in Anthem. And they're going to be coming on the show and telling us all about the history of Legends Bar and Grill. And there is quite a history. Fabulous food, great service. People love to go there. I love to go there. Been going there forever. Legends Bar and Grill, right there at the Safeway parking lot, plaza in right here in Anthem, Arizona. Well, there's a lot more to come. You're going to hear me on the Monday show talk all about our golf courses from Canyon Mesa Country Club up in Sedona to Augusta Ranch to a Legacy Golf Resort to Springfield Golf Resort. We have such great golf courses that I can't wait to talk about that. Augusta Ranch is enlarging their putting green to probably have the largest putting green in the state of Arizona and their top tracer. I mean, on and on it goes, but we'll talk a lot of more about that on Monday as we wrap up all the world's golf. Have a great weekend and enjoy.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.